The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's George Brocker back with you here. Final hour of the show for this Thursday. We're going to go to the VIP line. Somebody has gotten really mad. So mad legally, they've generated a lawsuit against a guy named Jared Polis, the governor, and a bunch of other folks in the state of Colorado. That guy's name is Michael Fields. You've heard of Michael before. He's the president of Advance Colorado. Michael, you did it. You pulled the trigger. You talked about it here on the radio earlier, said it was probably coming, and then you did it. Did you do it like timed perfectly with him putting his wet signature on the paper that sent this thing to the ballot?
It was a couple minutes before, so the media could ask him about it, which I haven't seen his answer yet. But we did time it up so that we put out the press release saying that 12 counties were joining our lawsuit to go after this Senate Bill 303 and Prop HH, so-called property tax relief, when it's really just this ploy to take your TABOR refunds permanently. And so, yeah, we filed, and, you know, because it's a ballot measure this year, it's an expedited process, so we'll know our answer pretty soon.
Now, I'm looking at the caption here. That's the thing that attorneys know. It contains all the information about in which court and who the plaintiffs are, who the defendants are, all this other stuff. There's a ton of plaintiffs here, and looking at your description of the parties within the complaint that got filed, it looks like they hail from a bunch of different areas across the state. You said 12 counties. Was there an effort ever to, does it matter, to try to get 64 counties on board? Were there any counties that said, no, no, we love this? Anything like that?
Yeah, and it was a lot of word of mouth, trying to, you know, talk to commissioners we know. It was a very quick process because they have to publicly vote on it, et cetera. Obviously, this is more conservative-leaning counties, but it is all across Four Corners of the state. And not surprisingly, we've had a few counties after we've announced that are now interested in joining. You know, unsure if we can amend our complaint and add them, but there's definitely growing interest in this issue. And I think it really stems from constituents, people that live in their counties, wanting to, you know, really go after this thing. This violates single subject. There isn't clear ballot language, that something needs to change here. And, you know, I did a town hall last night in Douglas County. Our Douglas County commissioners voted in favor of joining this. And the people there were very concerned about property taxes, but were more concerned about the TABOR refund side of this, because they know this isn't a real solution, Prop HH.
Let's back up. When you describe the parties inside the complaint, I think the obvious one is Jared Polis. Everybody knows that's the dude who's the chief executive. He executes the laws. Tell folks why Jenna Griswold is thrown in there.
Yeah, so basically because it's a referred measure and, you know, the Secretary of State is in charge of putting stuff on the ballot or not. And so given the fact that we are going after this referred measure, Prop HH, is why she's included in that, too.
Who says that there can only be a single subject for matters that end up on the ballot?
Yeah, so the Colorado Constitution. So basically, we have two things. One is that there has to be a single subject in a bill. So if they pass a bill, and that has been the case for a long, long time in Colorado, that a bill has to have a single subject. But then in 1994, there was a referred measure, constitutional referred measure, after TABOR passed, to say that you have to have one single subject in a initiative, a citizen's initiative, or a referendum if something is referred from the legislature. And so there's really two places in the Colorado Constitution that say you have to have a single subject in a bill and on a ballot measure.
So in this particular case, and I've looked at the complaint, thanks for sending that over, there are two big things that I see in here. One is the single subject, and one is the clear title requirements. Those don't seem to be completely overlapping each other. In a Venn diagram, it's not an eclipse. So I want to talk about each of those independently. When you talk about the single subject thing, tell folks how this Preparation HH is violative of that. There's four examples that you give in there.
Yes, we say there's at least four different subjects in this, one being the fact that they're, you know, it changes the property tax rates very little bit in order to say there's property tax relief. But that's the one subject. The second one,
and that should be its own standalone measure, is what you're saying.
Totally, totally its own standalone measure to say, do you want to lower property tax assessment rates by 0.05, you know, and save you a couple dollars on the increase, the massive increase you're having? That is one subject. Two is that it's taking Tabor refunds over 6 years, right, 10 years, and putting it towards education and some backfill to local government, but it over backfills, right? It gives more money than what they would lose to education.
How is that backfill?
It's not backfill. That's, I mean, we're totally arguing this is not backfill. This is a totally different issue, right? Think Prop CC when they wanted to put it towards education and transportation. It got shot down, right? And that is a second subject. The third subject is that it gives money to renters. So they were like, well, renters might be mad about this, so we're going to create a $20 million cash fund that helps give money to renters, right? Just has nothing to do with education, has nothing to do with lowering property tax rates. And then the fourth one is another Tabor-related one, that it changes formula permanently for Tabor. And so instead of inflation plus population, it's inflation plus population plus 1%. Then the second year, you add another percent, and you keep going. So it's 10% difference after 10 years, but it basically totally gets rid of Tabor in the long run. And there's no mention of that, and this is where it overlaps. There's no mention of that in the language, right, that says we want to rewrite Tabor and have you never have Tabor refunds again. But what the courts really look at is something called log rolling. And that is, do you take an unpopular idea and pair it with a popular idea to try to get something passed? And that is exactly what is going on here, right? We had Prop CC, it lost. And they said, let's take Prop CC and then put a first sentence in saying we're cutting property taxes and do the same thing.
Yeah, so, talk to us historically. What did you guys do with CC that the courts agreed with that forced them to change the language of it?
So they didn't. They didn't change the language on CC, but the language was better in that it said this is money that cannot otherwise be kept by state government, right? So this is an idea like, oh, if they can't keep it, it might be our Tabor refunds, right? Like, it was people could connect it a little bit better. In this case, it just calls it the state surplus, right? So it's like, well, money's sitting there, so why can't we just use that money
so
for
deceptive,
property tax
man. So deceptive.
Right? So even in Ref C and Prop CC, one won, one lost, et cetera, it talks about how the state couldn't keep this money. And again, in this ballot language, there is no talk about how this rewrites the formula to take Tabor refunds permanently. You know, $10 billion over 10 years, and then it goes away totally.
How many times does Tabor appear in the ballot language?
Zero. And we know it'll be zero times in the blue book too, because they write the blue book, right? So this is one of the arguments is, well, we're not putting a lot of language into the ballot language because the blue book will let you know, right? Which they
and
don't.
And of course, everybody reads the blue book.
Well, they don't put it to our initiatives, right? We have to have numbers in it, how much revenue goes down for local governments, et cetera. They passed a bill that they exempted themselves from that says we have to say all these entities that would lose money and how much. And then they just get to say, well, do you want to reduce your property taxes on homes and businesses? No numbers. So that's where the ballot language challenge comes, is saying there's not enough information in here. It's deceitful. It's misleading on purpose. It's confusing. The judge should rewrite that language at bare minimum to give people.
Is the judge empowered to do that? Can he or she rewrite it?
Yes. Yes.
Now you.
So we'll provide examples. I was just saying we'll provide examples that they could help pick from, including the ones that we would get. Right. Like, this is what we had to say. Okay. This is what Prop CC said. We can put those examples out there, and the judge could pick one of our versions instead of.
Is that double standard you described codified in law somewhere, or is this a one-off, like they've done it for this bill, or did they create some permanent exemption for the legislature to say whatever they want to voters?
They can say whatever they want. What they did was they passed a bill that only applies to citizens initiatives that has all this other, and they said it's the voter transparency, they need more education, but not if it's coming from us, which I think legally, you know, and the courts have and we're looking at cases on this where legally they say actually the government has a higher standard than the citizens do.
Go figure.
Because they're a trusted source, et cetera. So I think this double standard could be something that ends up getting them. But, you know, they just passed a bill that said if
did they do it just this year?
2 years ago. So this is why we went in with the Independence Institute, got our income tax cut on the ballot, was because they passed that bill afterwards. And so from now on, every single tax cut that we put on the ballot has to have this very confusing long language about how it cuts from prisons and education.
Which, by the way, not true. Also not true. Yeah,
not true. And which is why we're challenging that, too. But they, you know, and the sponsor said, well, we just don't like that they keep winning at the ballot. So we have to do something. Right. So it's like, thank
damn
you.
Damn voters, stop that. Doing this. You're doing the wrong thing, voters.
The same legislator, sponsor of this current bill, who said, well, we needed to tackle a lot of different subjects in this bill.
Oh,
a lot of different
those words kind of hurt, don't they?
yeah. It's he basically set it up to say, you know what, this is doing more than one thing. And so we'll see. I mean, this is the court system. We don't know what comes out, but we think we have a really good case. And, you know, even if they don't find the single subject violation, hopefully they rewrite that language so people are more aware.
We're talking with Michael Fields, president of Advance Colorado. The dude just wins. That should be your theme song. I just win.
Only when I'm biking against you.
Oh man, you went there. Listen, there was a day, but man, something's happened. I have fallen way off. I'm looking more and more like I'm trying out for Santa Claus for the movie than I am someone who's at. And just so that people can hear the how the sausage gets made and behind the scenes, are you doing that triathlon in Wisconsin?
I'm planning on it.
You just haven't signed up yet.
My swimming needs to get a little better first. So
you're a floater.
I did the Colfax half marathon, though.
Oh, I saw Dustin's numbers.
Much slower
I saw Senich's. How were yours?
Yeah. Not nearly as good. It was more in the Kyle Clark range than the Marshall Dellinger range.
And Marshall was the 90-minute pacer, too, and I think Dustin beat him. That's interesting. On this particular issue, though, there's more than just the four subjects that they've tried to fit into one bill. There's the clear title thing. What is that about?
Yeah, so it's basically saying that we have to be transparent about what is in this bill. And so clear title, that's always been the case that initiatives need this. What we're arguing is because they put on top of it right now this extra language and everything else, that they should be held to that standard too. And I think, you know, part judges look at, if you pick up this ballot measure without a blue book, without any other information, do people know what it does, right? And if you don't have numbers in it, I think the biggest thing we're pushing for is to show this quote-unquote tax cut is from 6.76 to 6.7%, right? Barely any
whoa,
tax relief.
Whoa, hang on.
If they put that in there, right, voters would be like, no, I'm not giving up my Tabor runs refunds permanently for that little drop in property tax relief. But they hide that number from it totally. And so we said, you know, if we have to go and put on, when we do an income tax, 4.55 to 4.4%, then they need to put those numbers in the ballot language.
And have you heard any pushback yet from the proponents of this, why four subjects in this bill is okay, or how it's really actually just one subject, and that subject is let's grow government?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do, right, with these titles. There was a bill called the Sustainability of Rural Colorado. It just had like a million things in it. Or the gas tax bill, right, that has five different enterprises. I think they're just so used to putting multiple subjects in a bill and not having it be challenged that they just think, and I think this is what they'll argue, is that the court should defer to the legislature about what's a single subject, what, you know, these are related enough, that they're connected enough. I think they're going to have a stretch when it comes to what does renter money have to do with taking Tabor refunds and putting it to education, right? Like those things, I don't understand how you would possibly connect those two things at all. But I think that's ultimately what they're going to argue, is that, you know, this is no different than anything else that they pass. And, you know, kind of ignore the fact that we're held to a completely different standard as citizens, even though the constitutional provision says single subject applies on both sides.
How often have you guys won, or anyone won, on this issue of the single issue and the clear title?
So we were looking at a single subject, and I think there's only been three cases in the history of Colorado that have been on this. And two of them were before 1994 when this passed. And I don't think there's ever been a direct challenge on single subject to a ballot measure, because they used to do it the right way, right? Ref C was in one bill and Ref D was in another bill. Like, this is how you do it. So this is kind of a novel challenge in that way. There have been ballot language changes on the citizens initiative side, but not on, again, the legislative side, because they were a little bit more transparent with their language. But there has to be a line, right? You can't say some random thing happens and it triggers a tax cut or a tax increase or something, right? And so there has to be consistency about the ballot language means what is behind it. And in this case, you know, calling it state surpluses instead of Tabor refunds or not putting numbers in, we think goes too far.
Now, this thing is going to start in Denver District Court. You were one, I think, the last time we had a Republican governor in a position to appoint judges. And I'm not suggesting that who gets appointed determines everything. But do you know who you guys are going to land in front of in Denver?
Yeah, so we have Judge Goldberg, I believe, is the judge's name. And this is a judge who had two recent cases, one being the speed reading case. If you remember, the legislature
was
six different recordings.
And they tried
on,
to use, like,
really
AI
quick.
To do it or something.
Yeah, yeah, they're all talking over each other at 100 miles per hour. Well, this judge stopped that. And so, one, I think, showing that, you know, that he will stand up to the legislature and say that's out of bounds. There was another challenge that we had with Unite for Colorado, where the Secretary of State was going after a conservative
donors,
C4
right?
group. Yeah, and he threw that one out too. So I think looking at it, that we'll get a fair shake. I don't know how it ends up turning out, but again, you know, if we don't get the single subject challenge being successful, we're hoping that they at least. He decides to at least change that ballot language. So.
And then however it turns out, I imagine someone's going to appeal. Does it go right from that to the Supreme Court or does it go through the Court of Appeals? And if so, how do you get this thing resolved before ballots get printed?
Yeah, so there is an expedited process, as I mentioned, because it is a ballot measure, because it's a referred measure. There was a certain law that said you had to file within 5 days. I don't know what step two is specifically, but it is a quicker, much quicker process than a normal case because they know that this is going to be in front of voters. And the deadline is early September for when ballots need to be printed.
Oh, boy,
so we have to have an answer during this summer. I think that we'll get our initial answer, you know, sometime later in June. And then, yeah, there could be some appeals after that. We'll see how it goes. But I think we're willing to stick this through. You know, ultimately because we want to win the case, but also because we want to educate people about what is going on, right? That this, what it really means. And I think, you know, the media has been pretty good about this too, because they understand that this is taking Tabor refunds and there is no mention of that anywhere by the proponents of this measure.
I'm anxious, by the way, to not only witness, but just like with CC, be a part of the debates throughout the community. And, you know, I watched you do it a bunch of times. I did it a few times. Because I'm anxious to hear how the other side is going to explain to a group of voters, this is why we're not telling you the straight scoop on this, or this is why it's important we cut property taxes by a little bit to take a whole lot more on the other end. I'm anxious to hear how they're going to get through that narrative. The response could be, Michael, you maybe see this coming, we're just not going to engage you in a head-to-head thing. We're just going to continue to use CEA money, put out our word, and suck it.
Yeah, two things on that. One is I think that you're right. I don't know who ends up out front debating this. Remember, Casey Becker really took it on in CC.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Chris Hansen does it. I don't know. But, like, they're not going to have a lot of people who are excited to go and debate this. One, because it's a complex issue. Two, because no group of people listening is going to side with them. I mean, the arguments on their side are terrible. They're just banking on the ballot language. And as you said, special interest money coming in and pushing this over the top. But you have to remember, if this is a true backfill, right, then education shouldn't get any more money or any less money if it wins or loses. So they shouldn't spend any money on it. But we know they will because it's totally a grab, money grab for education in the long run. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see kind of who debates it, who goes around and supports it. Because, I mean, even being in Dougco yesterday with, you know, a group of people who were just worried about their assessed value, they weren't buying, you know, the arguments on the other side, and I don't think many Coloradans will.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays in other places, though, too. If it's this toxic, how does it play in Boulder? How does it play in Denver when people are told the straight scoop? I just don't know the answer, but I like our chances. I like the fact that you guys have taken this to the courts to oppose this nonsense, and we're going to have you back on as this thing continues to move forward. Are you riding the bike today?
I'm not right now. I'm not right now, but maybe later on. But I appreciate you having me on. And I think odd year voters are very educated and informed, and we're going to spend money to educate them. So I feel good about our chances.
Fantastic, man. We'll have you on again. Thank you, Michael Fields, president of Advance Colorado. See ya. Hey, listen, before we cut away for a break, and we do need to have a break, I do want to tell you about somebody who dabbles in the area impacted by these surging assessed values. And that's Gay Ribble and the team at Empower Home. these folks are impacted by this just like you are, because they're the ones that are buying and selling homes in this market to try to make families happier, sometimes keep families together and close together. Grandpa and grandma are downsizing and they want to move closer to the grandkids. Maybe it's aunts and uncles relocating because they've decided to commit less to money and more to family. It doesn't really matter what the answer is to why you want to sell your house and buy a new one. The question you need to answer is, do I do this alone? Do I do this with someone who's an unknown quantity or commodity because I saw their face on a park bench or in a newspaper ad or online? Yep, you could do all those things. Nothing wrong with those folks, but why not go with a proven winner for decades, someone who has been in and out of this metro area through all the different kinds of markets, including the ones like the ones that we're seeing right now, and has been a winner on behalf of her clients every time. This Empower Home team, headed by Gay Ribble out there as the CEO, this team sells homes faster than others. They put more money in your pocket on average than others. They have a sold in five program where you still end up on average with 6.1% more than if you'd gone a different route. They have the online workshops, but more than that, they have the know-how and the good heart. You can trust these people, and the trust piece in this day and age, that's almost as important as anything else. You give them a call at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD, or you can try them at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. One last thing. You've heard it here every hour so far, but I want to emphasize this. Western Conservative Summit's coming up, folks, in just a couple weeks. It's going to be that 8th and 9th, the Thursday and Friday. Friday and Saturday, the 9th and 10th. Jeez Louise. 9th and 10th of June. We're sponsors of this. 710 KNUS, we're prime drivers along with the Centennial Institute. You hear Jeff Hunt on our radio all the time. We're moving this thing forward. You got to get tickets and go to this thing. You can go to 710KNUS.com, get tickets there. You need to go check this thing out. It's the biggest thing like it in this part of the country. It's got all the big speakers from Lauren Boebert and Ken Buck, who are local, all the way up to Josh Hawley, big national time Missouri senator, Eric Metaxas, Tulsi Gabbard. What an interesting choice. I'm interested to hear what Tulsi has to say, because she used to be a Democrat, as you know. Then she ran for president and decided, I don't want to be a D anymore. She's not an R, but I'm interested to hear what she has to say. Be a part of that conversation. Check out the Western Conservative Summit at 710 KNUS. When we come back, I promise, Bob, I know you had to drop off, but if you call back in, I'll take you. Gary and everybody else at 303-696-1971. George Brock with George Show, 710 KNUS.
I pledge to be an energetic executive that will take on the important issues. Biden's pursued inflationary policies that are hurting working people. We will reverse those policies and we'll build an economy where working Americans can achieve a good standard of life.
All sounds pretty good to me. George Brockler here, 710 KNUS. That right there, those are the sultry towns of the sultry sounds of one Ron DeSantis, who made his announcement yesterday in a technologically challenging environment called Twitter Spaces. I should have asked Michael Fields from Advance Colorado, who just joined us, if they were going to make any announcements about the fight against the Polis Tabor hijacking on Twitter Spaces. It doesn't sound like that's going to be a place a lot of people go in the near term based on what happened. If you remember what happened in terms of the conversation earlier, Billy told us that there were 500,000 people that were trying to get in to listen to this thing. And when it derailed and it took about 30 minutes or so to fix, half of those people went the way of the dodo, hopped back on the TikTok to share their information with the Chi-Coms. But the question that we've been asking is, anything you hear so far change your mind? I mean, are you still a Trump person, or do you believe that Ron can win, or Nikki can win, or Tim can win, or Vivek can win? And I got to tell you, the bigger play can't just be the nomination, because I do think Donald Trump is well positioned to be the nominee again. I just don't know. I'm not confident about the head-to-head matchup between Trump and Biden. In fact, I wasn't a big fan of the first movie. I'm not interested in the sequel on that thing, too. It cannot be that these are the two best options that the greatest country on the planet Earth have for leadership. This can't be it. And yet it looks more and more like it's going to turn out to be another sequel of Godzilla Rodan or something like that. So I've asked, who else do you like out there that you think can win? Tell me why Trump doesn't win the nomination. 303-696-1971. I'm interested to get your feedback on it. Gary, you're on 710. What do you think?
Oh, hi. You know, I think there's no way, unless Trump drops out of the GOP field, that he can be beaten, because the Make America Grimace Again crowd just will not change their vote. They like the anger of Trump. They like when he says, I'm going to drain the swamp. And that just casts a shadow over everything else. They just latch on to his anger, and they're not going away. And myself, I'm an independent, and I would like to see a true Republican be elected, just because I like small government, freedom, things like that. But I'll tell you why Trump, who will be the nominee, is going to lose. You know, we remember when Trump said, you're going to get sick of winning? Well, ever since he said that, he's been losing. For instance, in this last, you know, when we're going to have the, what was it called, the red wave in 2022.
Oh, boy.
In all six battleground states, which are critical to win the presidency, he lost. He was 6-for-6 losing. And if you can't win those states, you're not going to win. And those states are not going to budge. It's going to be the same thing as the sweep.
That red wave was Republican blood in the streets, especially here in Colorado. It was rough. But do you think, let's just fast forward a little bit, Gary, Donald Trump wins the nomination, which I think he's poised to do right now. Does he beat Joe Biden? I mean, if the election is today, does he beat Joe Biden?
No, for exactly the reason I just told you. The six battleground states, he lost this last, the red wave. He lost 6-for-6. And if he can't win those states, he's not going to win, and he's not going to be able to win those states. You know, that's what I think. And it's because, you know, people just detest Trump for his personality. You know, I believe both Trump and Biden are corrupt, but the reality is he can't win those six states, and that's what it's going to come down to. I really wish that DeSantis could get in, but he's not going to make it past the primary.
You don't think so?
No, because the Make America Grimace Again crowd are just going to follow Trump, and they're just going to find every way to attack DeSantis.
I wonder, and I say that because everyone points to the polls right now, and they say, hey, Ron DeSantis is 30, 40 points down. That's all real. That's all true. But as you know, until the election or the primary start in earnest, you don't really see that competition. My expectation is over the however much money that DeSantis is going to spend or Tim Scott's going to spend, you're going to see the numbers shift. And while I never expect to see Trump below a certain hard level, and nationally it's somewhere around 30-something percent. I mean, that's his hard. He could go out into the street and kill the person that he said he could kill, and those people would continue to vote for him because they're willing to excuse everything about his personal life and decision making, including some of the decisions he made as president. And that's fine. That's totally up to them. But in the primary, we're going to see the race tighten, especially as the primary thing goes on. And I wonder if any one of these three big names, and Vivek, he's not a big name, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, and Ron DeSantis, has the ability long term to clip the Don. What do you think about that?
I don't think so, especially if the number of GOP candidates gets more than, you know, one hand number. You know, if it gets to like 6, 7, 8, 9 candidates, it just splits up the 100% to such a degree that only Trump can win with his 30%.
So any chance you see in a head-to-head matchup, who can beat him out of those other names?
I think the only one that could is probably DeSantis.
Based on what?
Just based on DeSantis is a true conservative. And, you know, the one thing that might help him is if he talked a little bit more about the economy. I know he mentioned yesterday about inflation, but he really didn't talk about the economy. Like, for instance, Trump, one of the problems with him, his administration was he created the largest deficit of any president, including Biden.
I wonder too, though, when you say true conservative, does that mean Nikki Haley's not a true conservative or Tim Scott is not a true conservative?
Well, I think DeSantis has a track record, and they may be as conservative as him, but I think he's just going with a much larger base than they do. The African-American guy just got in the race.
Tim Scott.
Yeah, I really like him. He's sort of like Obama. He's a great orator. But I just don't think it's his time right now. I think it's going to either be, I'm hoping it's DeSantis, but I think it's going to be Trump.
I wonder here what the next steps are for this, because these folks are obviously jumping into the race believing that they can pull this thing off. It's just the question is, when do they cry uncle, if they cry uncle? And again, we haven't even talked about, and Gary, thank you so much for the phone call. Gary's line is open at 303-696-1971. We haven't even talked about the fact that there are these other pending prosecutions hanging out there, none of which, in my opinion, are likely to be resolved before the election. And the closer they get to the election, the more political that they'll seem. And it strikes me that these prosecutions against the president, including the incredibly politicized one out of Manhattan, those are only seeking to make Trump seem more like a victim of this lefty quote unquote system that out there. And there are folks, and they've called in here, that believe that all of this is a coordinated effort to get the president. I don't think there's any coordination at all, but the idea that it is there gives him a boost that the other three, four candidates just don't have. Whether Asa gets in, whether Youngkin gets in, those are all interesting things to talk about, but are they really running for president? Do they really think they're going to get president? Are they really running for 2028? Or are they really running for some other national platform for some other thing? Or maybe they're running for a job on Fox. Hey, real quickly here, by the way, some breaking news. As it turns out, there's an NFL team out there that's going to get a new name. Another new name, because it turns out they're not going to keep the last one. That's right, folks. The Washington Commanders have been denied their copyright, I guess, their reservation of that name for a whole bunch of different reasons. So now they're either going to keep that and let people just eat at the trough without having to pay them any money, or they're going to have to go find a new name. So yes, the Washington Ball Club, right after being, I think, acquired from Dan Schneider after decades of whatever he did to them, they're in the hunt for a brand new name. You heard it here first. I know a name that's available. I don't know how popular. Redskins. They could be, though I know that that seems so politically incorrect these days, but maybe the new owners are going to say, we've stopped going woke because we don't want to go broke, and they end up going back to Redskins. I don't know. Listen, we're going to get to your phone calls at 303-696-1971. I promise I'm going to get to the texts as well. There's a bunch of them coming in here. I want to tell you about Step Denver. If you are tired of seeing the government flail around and try to come up with ineffective solutions to homelessness and addiction, enter Step Denver. You're going to love these folks. They don't take any government money, and what they do provide is they provide a safe, sober, and structured place for addicted and homeless men to get themselves back on track. It ain't easy, and it's not free. It's free to them, but it's not free. It doesn't work like that. The way you get into this program and you get sober, you get clean, you get put into a position where you go out there and learn the skills you need to and get back into the job market, and they transition you throughout the building there at STEM, right in the middle of, I mean, very close to Coors Field, right in the middle of Denver. They transition you all the way out to a home, and then you have a job, you're a taxpaying member of society, and the government has had zero to do with it. Who doesn't love that? But here's the deal. They don't take the government money, but they have to take something. They have to keep the doors open. So it's a truck. It's an RV. It's a boat. It's some vehicle. You donate it to Step Denver, and you get a huge tax deduction. And when I say huge, I mean they will fix up your car and clean it up and get more value for it than you could have gotten on your regular old trade-in or sale. There's a free tow. The whole thing is hassle-free. Give them a call at 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020. You can visit them at stepdenver.org. That's stepdenver.org. I'm telling you, folks, I think I'm going to do this. I have a Chevy Traverse with 200 trillion miles on it. It's struggling to stay charged, and so it's just hard. It's just sitting in the dang garage. I think if I can find the damn title, I'm going to end up just donating it to Step Denver. And when I do that, I'll let you know about it too. You should do it. Do it before I do. 303, you know the number. Hey, it's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
And our president, well, he lacks vigor, flounders in the face of our nation's challenges, and he takes his cues from the woke mob. I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice.
Well, it dropped off again. I imagine that's because it was on Twitter Spaces. That's Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday that he is running for president of the United States in the face of a dominant, at least in the polls, position by Donald Trump in the entrance of Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Vivek, can't pronounce his last name, and potentially Asa Hutchins and Glenn Youngkin and all that other stuff. One thing I'm just now noticing as I listen to him is he does not have a deep, commanding voice. And that doesn't mean he can't be president, but it sounds a little like that. It just sounds a little weaker, right? Like DJT got a pretty deep voice. Even Biden's isn't bad. Ronald Reagan had a pretty deep voice. But this one just sounds a little, I don't know how to describe it, and I wonder how that plays, if it matters at all. Here's some of the texters that have texted in. Question asked by a texter: why has Tim Scott never been married, and why didn't? Oh yeah, why isn't he married? Here's another one: why let moronic, unqualified callers absorb so much airtime? Listen, man, call up the phone, get some of that airtime. You want to have a conversation? I'm here for it. Okay, we're gonna. Republican family members I know who want Trump to win in 2024 always ask, why can't people just look past his personality and see his policies work? The answer is they won't. They don't like Trump. Get over it. It's a cult, just like the libs. That I don't know if it's the cult part, but that's true, man. You can't make somebody not hate another person by logicking them into it, because hatred is an emotion. You can't use facts to defeat that hatred. It's just not going to work. You can't be like, this dude has done a bunch of things to women over the years, and he's done a bunch of other things with his businesses. I get it. However, guy was great with foreign countries. That's just not how it works. If you're having that conversation with someone, you're losing. That's just not the conversation to win. That guy doesn't inspire. That's a guy you vote for out of fear, not out of inspiration or aspiration. Now listen, before we get to the last part of this segment, I want to tell you about QC Kinetics. Here's why. When you have joint pain, hips, knees, elbows, shoulders, whatever it is, there's only a couple options. One is you can suck it up and move on. That's a very Colorado way of doing things, at least old school Colorado. I'm not going to do that. When I hit the age when the warranty runs out on these parts and I start feeling that pain more than a couple days at a time, I'm going to go see a doc. And that doc's going to tell me, hey, you're either going to have to live with it or you're going to have to probably go under the knife or take a bunch of pills. But wait, there's QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics doesn't require you to go to the doctor. It doesn't require you to go under the knife. It doesn't require you to take 8 jillion different pills to address inflammation. QC Kinetics merely takes you through regenerative medicine and puts it back into you to cure you. It's genius, and it works. It works so many times that the feedback is tremendous. If you go to their website at QC Kinetics, Q and C are letters, kinetics ends in an X.com, you'll see some of the testimonials. But the best thing to do is just pick up the phone and call some of the local medical professionals. No pressure at all. They're just there to answer your questions. 303-900-8986. 303-900-8986. And a third time, just to help alleviate your pain. 303-900-8986. That's QC Kinetics. Now, I want to shift gears just a second here to tell you about something else. We could talk about this tomorrow. I was going to talk about it today. But if you are a fan of Monty Python, I am. I know Billy is a fan of Monty Python's. They're now being run through the woke sort of filter, and they're being censored. There is a stage version of The Life of Brian. You know the movie well if you know Monty Python. John Cleese is going to be a part of it. Well, at a recent reading of the original script, some of the woke actors and actresses and staff and all that other stuff push back on a scene that they are now going to edit out. And it is a scene where a character declares that it is his right to have a baby and be called Loretta. In fact, it's the character's name is Stan, and he ends up saying things like, it's every man's right to have babies if he wants them. And then Cleese's character pushes back and says, you can't have babies. Stan says, don't oppress me. And then the guy that wants to have babies says, he points out, Stan doesn't have a womb. And then the guy says, it's symbolic of his struggle against reality. That can no longer be, and it will no longer be part of the life of Brian. However, what's going to happen to the other awesome Monty Python skits like this one?
He cuts down trees, eats his lunch, he goes to the lover's dream. On Wednesday he goes shopping and has buttered scones for tea. He's a lumberjack and he's okay, he sits all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I skip and jump, I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars.
He cuts down trees, he skips and jumps, he likes to press wildflowers. He puts on women's clothing and hangs around in bars. He's a lumberjack and he's okay, he sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I wear high heels, suspenders and a bra. I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa. I cut down trees, I wear high heels, suspenders and a bra. I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa.
Oh, feathers! And I thought you were so budge!
Oh, my goodness. There's no better way to end a show than with a little Michael Palin and Monty Python and the Lumberjack song. That thing was legendary growing up. And now it's got to be on the chopping block. If Monty Python's going to self-censor based on the woke mob, you know they're coming for that. Download it and watch it while you can. Who knows when it's going to be erased via George Orwell and the rest of the 1984 crowd. Hey, my thanks to Michael Fields from Advance Colorado, making me and hopefully us a lot smarter on this lawsuit that just got filed to push back on the governor's plan to steal your Tabor refunds without actually telling you he's stealing your Tabor refunds. And also my thanks to Kaylee Weiniger. It's not Winiger. For you idiots who said it was Winiger, that's what I did. It's Weiniger from the Douglas County School Board to help us understand what exactly is going on down there with the DEI stuff and a school board member who just walked off the dais there in the middle of a thing. And then your calls and the discussion about Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump and the future of the Republican Party and the country. We're going to continue this thing tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit of Excel. Get your bells ready. See if they're going to come and ask for more money from you. Stick around. 3 Deb, 4 Stefan. Till then, George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.